Well, I want to talk about Thanksgiving because I think it's so forgotten. It's kind of a forgotten holiday, except for a couple of things people are involved in, eating a lot of food, turkey and such, and then some are wrapped up in things like football and sports and things like that. And even with those things, totally overlook what the Bible has to say about our responsibility to Thanksgiving. I want to read some verses in 1 Thessalonians, and this is chapter 5, verse 12. We'll read about down through verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 20. This is really like the closing words of this letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. Now, he had made a big investment there, spent a lot of time there, two different missionary trips. He went there and he invested in those people. A church was born. He went back. He was there on his second missionary journey, I think for something like half a year. He goes back for another visit on his third missionary journey and spends some more time there. So he has quite an investment in those people there, those believers. And so when he leaves, then he sends letters back to them to encourage them, to instruct them. And these are the closing words that he gives at the close of this first letter to these Thessalonian Christians. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Here's the key verse. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Praise God. Amen. You know, it's one thing to do what's right. It's one thing to act right. But even beyond, and that's an important thing, to do the right thing, to act in a way that is right and honorable. But it's another thing to remember that your spirit communicates also. And by that I mean that you can do the right thing with the wrong motive. You can do the right thing with the wrong spirit. And when you do, you really just negate your message. Your message loses its power and its emphasis whenever your spirit. And I tell you, people and even young children and young people, they pick up on your spirit. They sense whether or not you are genuine, whether or not you are kind, whether or not you are loving. That's what these closing words, if you want to put it all in a nutshell and to describe what the apostle is saying to them, and that is, watch your spirit and make sure you are thankful in everything you do. Make sure that you are thankful. Even the world takes notice. You may have a lot of things down perfectly about the way you live, but the world picks up on your attitude, your spirit, whether or not you're genuine or real or kind or loving. And they pick up on that. And it speaks very, very loud to the world. Yes, it does. We've had waiters talk to us on more than one occasion about church groups who come into their restaurant, and then they'll say, that church group was very rude to us. They tell on people to us sometimes. That church group was very rude, or those church people were very unkind to us, or they were very demanding of us, and they didn't even leave a tip. And I just cringe when I hear that, because I know it doesn't matter how many times we go to church or how we live our life, we just completely destroy our testimony when we don't have the right spirit. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. I know the people that are so demanding and hateful and have such an attitude, and then they want to purport that they are servants of the Lord, Christians, people who love the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It's not a consistent message. Our message, and that's what the apostle is talking about here as he closes out this letter. He's saying to them, I'll just go through these verses real quickly and just kind of give you the sense of what he's saying. I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. He just means know them or be aware of them or understand them and to treat them with respect and honor. Amen. Verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourself. Treating people right will help you as well as far as having a peaceful attitude and a spirit when you are treating people in the way that a Christian ought to treat people in the world. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. This is really kind of military terminology. Someone that steps out of the ranks, that you need to warn them, or basically just step over and make sure they get back in line, back into the rank that they're supposed to be. Make sure that they stay where they need to be. Comfort the feeble-minded. It's really just talking about encouraging people who are giving up or faint-hearted. Support the weak. Strengthen them. Edify them. Help them. Be patient toward all men. Be long-suffering and patient with people. You see how he's dealing with the spirit that communicates very, very loudly. See that none render evil for evil. Don't have that kind of a spirit that you feel like you have to get back at people. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That's the spirit that he's wanting to us to communicate to the world that is around us. Rejoice evermore. Just be cheerful. Amen. You ever see Christians that are so down and you look at them and you think, what happened to you? You're so sour looking. You're so unhappy looking. And he says, rejoice evermore. It just means be happy, be cheerful. Let that be expressed to the world. You don't even have to say one word to them. If you have a cheerful spirit, they're going to say, what happened to them? I want what they have. Pray without ceasing. It just means that you are expressing the fact that you are, every day, you're dependent upon God, and so you're in prayer. All the time, you trust God. And then, the centerpiece. Many of you will prepare a big meal this week, and you'll have a centerpiece in the middle, and that's kind of the focal point of the table. Well, the centerpiece of all of this closing message of the Apostle Paul is this verse, and we're all familiar with this verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. That's the centerpiece. It should be the centerpiece of the Christian life. It shouldn't just be this week. It should not be just Thursday, but we should live our life always in an attitude, an expression of thanksgiving unto our God. Isn't it interesting that we live in the generation where people probably have more than any generation before us, as far as possessions, money, material things? I mean, this generation has more than probably any other generation, yet it's still the most discontent generation. Always wanting more. Always wanting to improve and to do more and to get more and to have more. Discontented. We know what Timothy, what Paul said to Timothy about there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that we're to begin with godliness. Be content. Be content in your relationship with God. Make sure that that's where you find your contentment, yet you're satisfied in the things of the Lord. Every day we're bombarded with advertisements, and as the holidays get closer, they're just more. I mean, the newspaper gets thicker and thicker and thicker, and it's not news. It's just advertising and special sales, and it's all, the ads are designed to make you feel discontented. If only I had that car. If only I had those shoes. If only I had that suit of clothes. If only I had that item, that new trinket, that new electronics device. If only. And things are, you know, there's things coming out all the time. And if you've got the latest, it won't be the latest very long. Because in a few months, there'll be another one come out, and you're going to be all discontented and bothered because yours is old and you need something better. And the whole spirit of this world and this age is a spirit of discontentment, unhappiness. As a matter of fact, most advertisement is designed to make you feel unhappy and discontented. Most of it is designed to make you feel like I deserve better than I have right now. Isn't it true? I've seldom walked through a mall, but every once in a while that happens to me. And if I do, and I look through and I see a nice suit of clothes, and I think, wow, look at that. I could never afford that. And I look at the price, and it's confirmed. I couldn't ever afford it. Those windows are perfectly set up. I mean, they've had trained professional people to design those show windows. Now, I know that's not as big of a deal as it used to be, because now most advertisement pops up on your phone, or it's on your computer, or some other device, some other way the advertising world is using to get at you, to make you discontented and not thankful. Not thankful. If you never get anything or ever have any other blessings come your way, you could stop right now and review your life and say, I have been so blessed. And that should be the spirit that we have, a spirit of thanksgiving, giving thanks in all things. You know, people that are not thankful, you know, some people think, well, I've got to where I am and it's just been luck. Some people believe in luck. They believe that luck, you know, I hear people say that, well, I'm just so lucky, this has happened to me and this has fallen in place and I'm just such a lucky person. Yeah, I've even heard the terminology, well, the universe has just smiled on me and things have just lined up perfectly for me. And even some people believe that they have what they have because of their own knowledge or their own ability. And all of these are wrong. It's not luck. It's not the universe. And it's not your ability. We're thankful when we recognize that every good thing comes from God. Then it changes everything when we recognize I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. It's not because of my knowledge, my talent, my abilities. Because even all of those things have come from God. Everything I have, it's all come from the Lord. And He has blessed you. And you are greatly blessed in a thankless world that we live in today. The thing that should be different in the church and among believers is we ought to stand out as thankful people. Grateful people with the right spirit of gratitude. And that should be the pattern, really, of every believer. It should be the obvious characteristic of every person who knows the Lord. People that don't know the Lord, they're described in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent. That's a pretty bad crowd there now. And then it says unthankful and unholy side by side. unthankful, and unholy. As if they're equally something that God is asking us to wake up and to realize that he wants us, yes, to live a holy life, but he also wants us to have a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving unto our God without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And it goes on and lists all of these traits of people who are godless. And right in the middle is unthankful. Unthankful. Those that have dishonored the Lord through their ingratitude. So we need to stop. We need to evaluate. We need to look closely at our lives. And just what's going on in your life? Why are you in the condition that you're in today? Remember the children of Israel. The children of Israel in Numbers chapter 14. It says that, this is verse 1, all the congregation that lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath God brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? You see, the problem here with the children of Israel was the wrong perspective. Wrong perspective. They were looking back to Egypt. They were looking back to the ways that they had it there, and they were forgetting about the fact that the Red Sea had opened up miraculously and they'd walked across on dry land. They'd forgot about the fact that God turned bitter water into sweet water miraculously. They'd forgot about the fact that God had made water to flow out of a rock. They'd forgotten about the provision of the Lord, of manna raining down out of heaven, just what they needed for their wilderness journeys. In one place it talks about that God said, I gave you meat in the evening and the bread from heaven in the morning. Everything you would ever want, I've given it to you. But their perspective was not on all the blessings, all the ways that God had provided for them. But they're looking back to Egypt and saying, well, we'd be better off if we just were back there. We'd be better off dead. We'd be better off dying in the wilderness than to have to face these enemies and face all the things that we're facing. Their perspective was wrong, and you become ungrateful and unthankful when you allow your perspective to get on the wrong things, toward the wrong things. Actually, we have the natural tendency to drift toward the negative. You don't have to try to be negative. It's just a natural tendency. We all slip that direction, do we not? We all become grumblers and complainers. If you don't, if you're thinking you don't, then you're doing something worse. You're telling us a big fib. It's not the truth. Because you grumble and you complain, and we do that when we don't look at our life from the right perspective. See, it's a natural tendency of the flesh to drift toward the negative and become a complainer. You have to intentionally develop a thankful heart. You don't naturally move that way because it's a thing of the spirit. The things of the flesh are easy to slip that way because we are naturally, our tendency is to flow toward the flesh, to flow toward the negative. It's just easy to fall into that. But you have to intentionally develop a grateful heart. Amen. That's why I said that if you'll just think about it, if you'll just take a little time to think, would you do that today? Would you take a little time to think about the last month, the last few months, the last year or so? Think about that and look at it from the perspective of God's blessing and God's provision and how that God has helped you, because he said, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. No matter what it is that you experience, that even through trouble, you can see that God has helped you to overcome, that you have gone through problems and reverses and sadness and all of these experiences that you have gone through, but you have been brought through it victorious, or you are being brought through it victoriously because of the faithfulness of the Lord. Get the right perspective on things. Bad things do happen to good people. We do go through tough and difficult times. All of us do. But we are to give thanks in all things. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That reminds us of the fact that God is the center of our life, and that God has a bigger plan, that God has a greater plan, and He reveals His greatness and His sovereignty and His power in our lives, sometimes through trouble, sometimes in sickness, sometimes in tears. Some of the things that you've experienced over the last months, years, they have been a testing of your faith. They have been a trying time. Your heart has been broken. You have grieved. You have gone through much tribulation. But some of you have come through that. Some of you are on this side of it now. And you can review back and look at all the things that you have gone through. And you can see the hand of God. You belong to the Lord. So you can even be thankful for trouble and for sickness and for all these things that you've gone through. You can be thankful for everything. That's what He says to do. That's the spirit of a believer. That's the confidence of a believer, that in everything we give thanks. In everything we are thankful unto the Lord, because we know that He's a sovereign God. He's in control of our life, and we can trust Him to do what's right. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Scripture says in Romans 8:28, this is the overarching truth that we always, as believers, we are able to face any situation, because we know that God has a much bigger plan, and that God will suffer some situations. It may not be until we get into eternity in heaven, but it may be later in your life. It may be a few months down the road or a year from now that you can get some insight into the big picture of what God is doing. But we know, Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. It doesn't mean that everything is good. It just means when it's all blended together, when it is all meshed together, all brought together, then God has a big picture. God has a big plan. It's much bigger than where you are in your trouble or trial right now at this minute. You belong to God. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God's plan is good, and you can endure the struggle, you can endure the pain, you can endure the trouble, because you know that God is your Heavenly Father, and you know that it's for your good and for His glory. You know it. You have that confidence, and you know, and so it gives you a completely different perspective on anything that we might go through, because we trust that God is in control. We can survive it all, any adversity, any struggle, any trouble, no matter what it is that you're facing in life right now. Ask God to help you to get the bigger picture, to see life from His perspective, to see your circumstance from His point of view, so that you would be able to be thankful even in trials. Amen. Amen. God is good. You're His child. And you know that all the things that He's working, He's bringing it all together in His perfect plan for your good. Remember Joseph? It's one of the most wonderful stories in the Bible. But Joseph goes through a lot of trouble and sorrow, sold into slavery by his own family, lied on, arrested, thrown in prison, one trouble after another, falsely accused. All of those things that he faced. You never read in the scripture any place where he complained about it. You never read where Joseph ever was not trusting God. But he comes and then he reminds his own family when they have to come back to Egypt to get food. And God, at the end, has now positioned him. God has now placed him where he wanted him to be all along. And he led him through the pathway of rejection and sorrow and false accusation and loneliness and imprisonment. He went through all of those things because it was all the pathway that God was leading Joseph to that place where one day, just from one day to the next, he's in prison and suddenly he's exalted. Amen. Amen. And he has power and many, many, I forget how many it is. It's like 50 chariots that are running ahead of him. And he's got a gold chain around his neck. And that's a symbolic of the fact that he is in a position of power and authority. He has control. Next to Pharaoh, he's the most powerful man in all of Egypt. And God has put him there. Amen. So God uses our setbacks and our troubles and our heartaches and all the things because he wants to position us for ways that he might want to use us. He wants to get glory and he wants to bless you and to work through your life in new ways, wonderful ways, if you'll trust him, if you'll be thankful in all things. Don't become a grumbler, a complainer, but understand that we are to be a people with a heart of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, I really do believe that church services, that the I understand all we do, that singing and worshiping and preaching and teaching and all the things that we do all have their place and they're all important. But I think that really the overriding important thing that needs to be happening and when we come together is expressions of our thanksgiving to God. And when we do, then the church is edified. Then the church is edified. Whenever we hear from sister or brother that says, I went through this. I went through this struggle. I went through this problem, but God has been faithful to me, and I thank God for being with me in my trouble, my sickness, my sorrow. He receives the glory, and the church is edified. Amen. Glory to God. So that ought to be the centerpiece, really, of the New Testament worship, that we praise God with thanksgiving. Amen. Giving glory unto God. Let me read you some verses from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is what needs to take place in our meetings when we come together in the house of God. Don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. The phrase there literally means be continuously filled over and over and over again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what needs to be going on in the house of God. Amen. Giving praise and thanksgiving unto our God for all the wonderful things that he does for us. Something like 116 times in the scripture, the word thanks or thanksgiving is found. Two-thirds of those times, it's in the context of give thanks or giving thanks. Giving thanks. An expression of thanks. Someone said, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a gift and not giving it. You may be grateful in your heart, but you need to express it. It needs to show on your facial expression. Amen. It needs to show, be obvious to those that you meet in the house of God and out in the world that God is doing a work in your life. And that expression ought to be a gift to them to let them know God is in that person's life. And I can tell because they have such an attitude of praise and thanksgiving and glorifying God. Your thanksgiving can be a gift. It can be a gift to people that need to know. And you need to give it. You need to be willing to give it to God and give it to those around you. And as an expression of the faithfulness of God in your life. Giving thanks in all things. Amen. It isn't always easy because our natural tendency is to be a grumbler, a complainer, a griper. There's a lot of other words that we could use. But you know if you've slipped into that. Lord, help you Lord, help me. Help us all to not allow ourselves to slip that into that. As I said, that's the easiest natural tendency to slip into. But it takes a real conscious effort, real intentional determination to be a thankful person. Praise God. I get messages pretty often, every few months, 2 or 3 months, from Brother James Martin in Alaska. And after I get them, I always feel better. I always feel like I've been lifted up. He'll say things to me like, "Brother, I just want you to know I've been praying for you, and I'm so thankful for you as a friend. Thank you that you're my friend, and I know you pray for me." And I read that little text message, and I have just been, whoa, I've been lifted up. Praise God. You know, we can do that to one another. We ought to do that. This ought to be the safe zone right here in the house of God. This ought to be the place where you can come and bring your trials and your troubles and give them to Jesus and then express your thanksgiving to your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So think about it. And then bring your praise with you to church tonight. Amen. We'll give any of you an opportunity to say, "I am thankful most for this." In the last week or month or year, "I am thankful for this." If you'll think about it, you'll have a long list of things. We won't have time for all the things that you have to be thankful for. But that should be the expression of the people of God. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that your word gives us this repeated admonition, Lord, that we are to be a people who are grateful. That should be the spirit, Lord, that's evident in our life every day and wherever we go, Lord. Lord, contentment and thanksgiving and praise to you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. Oh, Lord, help us to not catch the spirit of the world that's discontented and has to have more and more and more of the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to be contented, Lord, with godliness and a life that is pleasing to you, Lord. God, do a work, I pray, in this service this morning. Touch our hearts. And may we leave, Lord, with an expression of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.